Good morning, everyone. It is always an honor to be able to stand before the people of our Lord, to be able to share of His precious word, and as we just sung, to trust and obey that His commandments and His promises will indeed be fulfilled as they have done so far. Therefore, to our friends, we welcome you. We are grateful to you for being here this morning. And we hope and pray that as you listen to the word of our God, that you will also be intrigued by the word of our God, and that you will be motivated, encouraged to want to know more about the word of our God. If that be the case, then please ask your questions afterward. As our brother has already stated, we would love to engage in a biblical conversation so that we can allow God's Bible, God's word, to provide the answers to whatever questions of the Bible you may have. Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms in Psalm 11. Psalm 11 is where we will be taking our thoughts from this morning. And the Bible reads, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence His soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portions of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we bow before Thee, and we give Thee all honor and glory, for Thou art truly worthy. We praise Thy holy name with our lips, Father, because we know that Thou art God, and that Thou art the ultimate source of authority. We know, Father, that Thou art the source of all truth, and it is for this reason, Lord, that we come to Thee, that we strive to draw near to Thee, Father, so we know, because Thou have promised, that Thou wilt draw near to us when we do so. Father, as we now strive to understand Thy word, be with this Thy servant. Allow me to share, Father, what I have been able to learn from Thy word, but Father, even more importantly, allow me to live and abide in Thy word, so that my lifestyle, my conduct, my godly example, Father, may be a guiding beacon, Father, to those who are also trying to do what is right in Thy sight. We thank You for those of our friends who are visiting us today, Father. Bless each and every one of them. We know that by hearing Thy word, Father, they are already receiving a blessing, but we ask, Father, that the seed of Thy gospel may permeate their hearts, Father, and that it may transform their minds, Lord, into obedience, so that they too, Father, may be transformed by Thy word as we, Father, strive to do so day by day. Thank You, Father, once again, for the many blessings that Thou have given us. Forgive us when we have failed Thee, for we pray this in the glorious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have begun this year talking about the authority of Scriptures. Last Sunday, we began this series of lessons by establishing, or rather defining, what authority is. And perhaps as a way of a reminder, if you were not able to bring your notes, or if perhaps you do remind, it's good for you to be once more encouraged by what you already know. The authority is defined as an influence or a command. It is defined as an influence, that a command that influences our thoughts, a command that influences our opinions, and our very behavior. Therefore, after having defined what authority is and seeing how authority, when it is defined, serves a purpose, we were able to see last Sunday evening, after seeing in the morning what authority is, that the purpose of God's authority is to reveal who those are that are righteous before Him. It is to protect those who are upright before Him, and it is to make manifest the reward of those who are in righteousness before Him. Thus, when we come this morning, once again, we read Psalm 11, and we see that both of these lessons can be found in this psalm. However, if you will, go back with me to verse 3, for this is where we're taking our thought from. And notice what is pondering in the mind of David when he writes this psalm. And it's interesting and it's amazing because David is a man of authority himself. David is writing about authority as a king, a man who in a nation would have been considered the ultimate authority. But observe what David himself says. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that's a very curious question that a man in a throne where he judges his people, a man who has been allotted power to use and exercise with the people, is wondering. It's interesting that even though David was king, David here is acknowledging that he is only king because he has been allowed to be king. The authority that he has is not his own. And although he is wielding power as a king, although as a king it is his responsibility to judge the wicked from the righteous, although as a king he has the right to condemn someone to death or to pardon someone on death row, this king recognizes that his power and his authority is not the foundation of the very sense. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, brethren, the source of authority, as we've titled our lesson this morning, is being pointed to by David here. Because David is acknowledging that his kingship and his power in a position of social government, if we will, is also founded upon the spiritual source that is God. You see, David, as a king, cannot determine who is righteous or unrighteous unless there is already a pattern that had been predetermined before him. You see, brethren, you and I, we wield delegated authority, which we're going to be talking about tonight. But this morning, we first must understand where that source comes from. Where you and I are receiving the water so that we can irrigate into our fields and harvest our fruit. Because it is not our own. It is not from our imagination, nor is it from our own belief system. The authority that is used righteously, the authority that is practiced correctly, the authority that will then determine fairly right from wrong, has to come from a higher moral being. One who from the beginning of time determined this is right and this is wrong. Let me demonstrate to you, brethren, why this cannot be mankind. Why man cannot be the ultimate authority when it comes to morality. Why man cannot be the one who has the level of the capacity, excuse me, of mental acuity to be able to discern between right and wrong on his own. If you will, go with me to the book of Judges. And there we know what we're going to be reading. And there we know a perfect example of when man tried to do things with his own authority and his foundation had been destroyed. If you will, go to the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, chapter 21. Judges chapter 21, beginning there at verse 24 to verse 25. So the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Pay attention to that. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, why would the inspired writer point to the fact that there was no king? Why does he point to this point, to this factor, to show that the state of disarray in Israel during these 300 to 350 years of history found in this book, every man did what was right in his own eyes? Well, the reason is because the king David, who came a short few decades after this, is himself declaring in Psalm 11, verse 3, that during this time, Israel had fallen off the foundations of authority. Notice that there was no king, but that does not mean that there was no law. The law of God was given to them. The law of Moses was around when the book of Judges was written. But in chapter 2, we read that the children of Israel fell away from the law of God. They departed from his commandments, and they departed from his ordinances. And therefore, because of this, anarchy ensued. Chaos took place. When every man does what is right in his own eyes, men will disagree because they all think they are right. There were many cases of this, and here in Judges 21, an entire tribe was on the brink of extermination because of this. The children of Israel almost completely wiped out the tribe of Benjamin because they thought it was right to do such severe punishment. They believed that what they had done was right to teach a lesson, and then they later regret what they did, and then a vow that they had made, they find and create a loophole for themselves. That is a very complex system of judgment, don't you agree? I'm going to set a law, and then I'm going to find a way to break my own law without violating my vow. That's chapter 21 of Judges. And this is why the writer, the inspired writer, which many scholars make the strong suggestion that it was Ezra who wrote this book. This is why Ezra, if it was indeed him who wrote it, it would make sense because in the book of Ezra, we read about how he was a man who dedicated himself to know the law of the Lord. And the reason he wanted to know the law of the Lord was to build that foundation, to build upon that foundation, so that he then could teach the children of Israel. Because here is a time where the foundations were destroyed and there was no righteousness in Israel. You see that? There was no righteousness in Israel. Once more, go back to Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, in the book of Judges, we see that the righteous can do his best to be righteous. But if no one knows what is right and what is wrong, then righteousness is going to be very difficult to determine. So there has to be a source. There has to be a source for authority. There has to be an absolute ultimate authority that guides us in this way, that leads us where we can build upon and we can still continue to build upon for the ages to come. If you will, go with me now to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible there declares to us who is the source of authority. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice, and we are going to read verses 1 and forward as a way of understanding the context. Chapter 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So let's pause here. And as we begin, notice point number one, who is not the source of authority? When we, as we establish in our class this morning, listen to any other voice that does not belong to God, death will follow. Observe how in verse 2, the Bible tells us that we were following an authority. We were not without authority, it's just that it was the wrong authority. It was not the source of authority, but it was an illusion of authority. It was a deceitful authority. The Bible says that we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That means influence, brethren. You know, when we read this, brethren, I know of someone who once, when there was a hurricane, would always make the claim that it was Satan because he was the prince of the power of the air. No, Satan doesn't have that type of power. He isn't God. He wants us to believe that. But that is not what this passage is referring to. The prince of the power of the air is referring to the fact that through his words, through his influence, he has contaminated our thoughts. He has contaminated how we think because he sets doubt in our minds through false teaching, through false doctrine. And when we were not following the commandments of God, we were influenced and we were walking according to his influence, is what the scripture says. And we keep reading. It says, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You see that? This, brethren, shows to us then who is not the authority. The source of the authority does not lie with the world. The source of authority does not lie in false religion. The source of authority does not lie in the devil himself, who is the self-proclaimed king of this world. We must understand, brethren, that when we follow anything that is not a source that comes from heaven, it leads to death. Because there is always an authority that we're going to follow. There's the true authority that is God, but then there is the falsely claimed authority that is Satan. And therefore, when we read Ephesians chapter 2, once more, verse 1 and verse 2 shows us how a world that a foundation is destroyed, a world where the foundation that is God no longer is being built upon him, leads to a position where the righteous cannot do anything. The righteous are shackled when we live in a world where God is not the ultimate authority. But observe once more verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. Question, who declared us children of wrath? Did we self-proclaim to be children of wrath? Well, no. Like in the days of Judges, we believed that we were right in our own eyes. You know, those who came from the denominational world before the word of God was rightly divided for them, they believed. They believed that they were in the right. They believed in the sinner's prayer. They believed in the Vatican. They believed in how a headquarters should exist. They believed that even today, there is still a possibility for apostles. And many of them truly believe with a genuine and sincere heart. But our heart is not the source of authority either. Did you see that? Our mind and our beliefs, our opinions cannot, will not, should not supplant the word of our God. Because we are not an authority to ourselves. We have not been given a right to exercise authority over our own heart. Because notice that when we do, verse 3, we then are following the lusts of our flesh. We are fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind. For many out there in the world, it is their own bodies that is their authority. Think about addiction. This is a perfect way of confirming. When a person is addicted, say, to something, their body craves it. And when they do not give it to them, their body begins to react many times in a way that can actually be violent as well. And I'll use something very harmless many times. Think about those who become addicted to caffeine. Those who become addicted to drinking vast amounts of coffee. When they stop drinking it, or if they don't have it for one day, how does their body react? They begin to get a severe headache. And they begin to wonder, why is my head pounding? Why is my head hurting? For others, their body becomes jittery. Their body, for whatever reason, feels a sense of anxiety. Why am I shaking? Well, the body who has become addicted to that caffeine, who has become addicted to that coffee, is now trying to rule the mind, and it is demanding that it be given what it requires. My girlfriend would really love this part of my sermon. But notice, brethren, how our bodies should not be our authority. How our mind is not the source of our authority. The world is not the source of authority. The devil is not the source of the authority. But my ego, my desires, my wants are also not the source of my authority. I am not given, nor am I granted, a foundation upon doing what I desire and what I prefer, because this is how I like it. No, brethren. Verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2 show us and give us an example of what King David in Psalm 11:3 warned about. When the foundations are destroyed, the righteous cannot do anything. Put a ribbon there in Ephesians 2 because we'll come back to that. But let me go real quickly to Romans 7 because it just came into my mind. Romans chapter 7. And notice what the Apostle Paul does as he writes to the Romans. Oh, by the way, he's also the same Paul who wrote to the Ephesians. And notice what Paul declares to the Romans in regards to what we are saying, that our bodies and our minds cannot, will not, should not be the source of our authority. Notice what Paul says there in chapter 7 as he is reflecting about his time living as a Pharisee in Judaism. What we are about to read is a metaphorical soliloquy, if you will. Paul here is having a moment of self-reflection, and he is thinking about his time before he became a Christian and how the time that he spent there, he had no hope of salvation. And observe there, beginning at verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. If I find then a law, that evil is present with me, that one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Notice, there's a law of sin, that's authority. The law of sin, the body of death, these are used to speak about the law of Moses. The reason it's called the law of sin and the law of, and the body of death is not because it is unholy. That's the point that he is making. But they're called this because their sole purpose was to reveal sin and to punish sin. But the law of Moses could never justify the righteous. The law of Moses could never remove the sin from man's inward man. And thus, Paul comes to the conclusion that even if I follow the law of Moses in the flesh, sin is still present. It has not washed away my sin. It has not removed my guilt. It has not cleansed nor purified my conscience from sin. O wretched man that I am, who has the power to do this? Who has and wields the authority to do this? If it is not the law of Moses, then who? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. His body was not in control. Our bodies are not in control. Our mind is not in control. They are not the source of authority. When we followed the world and its influence, it led to death. When we listened to Satan's naysaying, it leads to death. When I rule my life by what my desires are, by what my passions are, but what I delight in and what I like, it leads to death. So then, what is the source of authority? Where do I find that foundation that I must build upon? Where I, as an upright man, can do something. Where I, as a man who is trying to do right in my life, can actually do something that will lead to life. Now go back to Ephesians 2. Notice the answer given to us by Holy Writ. Ephesians chapter 2. And remember, we last read verse 3. Now we read verse 4. And notice how in verses 1 through 3, we have learned where the foundation is not laid, rather where the foundation is destroyed. But verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And notice, here's the source of authority. Here is the source that rules what is right and wrong. Here is the being who should be our foundation, that will justify us, make us upright, and therefore, as justified men and women, we then can do something which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When society decided to give us their authority, they were usurping authority from God. When the devil decided to contaminate and corrupt the world through false doctrine, through false teachings, he's usurping God. When I decide to follow my own desires of the flesh, my own opinions and my own thoughts, when I decide that I am an authority to myself, even if it goes against the word of God, I am usurping the authority that belongs to God. Because only God can establish right from wrong. Because only God can justify and purge away the sins of the sinner. In the book of Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a path that seems right to man, but its end is death. Just because it seems right doesn't establish that it is right. In Judges, they thought that what they were doing was right. And what we read is a time of turmoil, a time of turbulence, a time where they had no foundation. There was chaos and there was anarchy for 3 centuries, 3.5 centuries. Today, all we have to do is to look at our current state of our world, no matter what country we are in. But because our governments have drifted away from the Word of God, and our governments are now establishing laws by trying to usurp the authority of our God, notice the condition of our world. The foundations have been destroyed. And because the foundations have been destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, this morning, as we begin to wrap up our lesson, what the righteous can do is to remain and continue to build upon the foundation that is God. What the righteous can do is, do not let your foundation be destroyed, but rather submit and be grateful to the God who is our justifier, the only being who has the power to declare us not guilty, even though we are. The only being who has already told us to choose life by following his commandments. If you will, go with me now to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning there at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Remind them of those things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, that to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. There is the source of our authority. Notice, brethren, when I prepare myself to live a life of righteousness, when I prepare myself to live a life of godliness, I'm not doing it to be seen by man. I'm not doing it so that I can be exalted by society. I'm not doing it because I want a statue or a building named after me. I'm doing it to present myself without shame before God. But notice, what does the Bible declare means to stand in the source, in the presence of the ultimate authority, and not be ashamed? Once more, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are interpreters of his law, brethren. We are to know his law, and we are to understand how it works, why it works, and where it should be practiced. And as long as I stick to the law, as long as I walk by the rule of God's commandments, I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed, because now I'm following the right source of authority. Now I'm following the correct platform that leads to life. But we keep reading. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Himenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. There once again are those who seek to destroy the foundation. There are those who seek to destroy the solid ground where the righteous can actually work, where the righteous can actually do something. But read with me verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. He is the source of our authority. He is the source of all authority. It stands. Creation proves this. Society proves this. Morality proves this. And the inspired, infallible Word of God proves this. The solid foundation of God stands. Not only will it never eradicate, it is solid. It has weight. It has substance. It cannot be moved, and it cannot be destroyed. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Last week, we were able to see through biblical scripture that the purpose of authority is to manifest those who are righteous. But it is also to protect the righteous from the wicked. Here, the Bible once again declares this purpose. But notice one more thing. God knows who are standing on him. And God also knows those who are not standing on him. So this morning, my friend, and to you too, my brother and my sister, I ask the question, to which authority are you bowing to? What is the source of your authority? Have you chosen to follow the rules of society that go against the Word of God because you foolishly believe that that is the ultimate authority? Have you decided to follow and bow to the usurped authority of the deceiver, Satan himself, because you foolishly believe in his promise that he will give you the world? Or are you bowing to your own flesh? Are you bowing to your own mind and your own opinions, your own desires, thinking that you are your own authority? If you are in any one of these categories, or one of something similar to them, the Bible says to you that you are on the path that leads to death. Because there is only one true source of authority, and that is the all-knowing, ever-present, Almighty God Himself. This morning, you can submit to His will. This morning, you can choose to build upon that solid foundation that is God. Because as we've stated before, friend, it begins with obedience to God. And obedience is another way of saying submission to His authority. If you are ready to give your God over to God, to give your life over to God by putting on Christ through the waters of baptism, because it is what has been authorized from heaven, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.